Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
What a good day to be in God's house. That was some good praise and worship. Gosh, just thinking about the being in heaven, and the longer that we serve him, the sweeter that he grows. You know, it's that old redemption story that I don't know about you, but I'm never going to get tired of, that God would save us. God is good. I have this sign that hangs in my laundry room, and it's also the door to the garage, and it just reminds me that in a world where kindness can be lacking, it just reminds me that kindness is always beautiful. On the way here today, they said Mother Teresa had a quote, and she said, "Your kindness today might be forgotten tomorrow, but do it anyway." I liked that. I think most of the time it isn't forgotten, but if we do it with that in mind, we'll be steering the right way. I love the prayers of children. One says, "Dear God, please take care of my daddy, mommy, sister, brother, my doggy, and me. Oh, please take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're going to be a big mess." "Dear God, do you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, I'm really going to fix my brother." "I don't have a brother, but maybe if you have a brother, your brother needs fixed every once in a while." Matthew 7, verse 12 says, "So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." This is it. The Bible summary of all human relations. Do unto others as you would have them to do to you. Now, we should just be able to go home from this point, right? If we all just went home and did what we want from others. But you see, it's so much easier to read and to say than it is to live it out in everyday life. You know, it's more than not doing wrong. I believe it's more than, "I won't hurt you if you don't hurt me. Let's just make a pact." Church, it's more than doing good deeds. It's more for caring for others, even though I won't get something in return. I'm just going to give that Christmas present, not expecting a present in between. I'm just going to do it because that's what God wants me to do. Our scripture today is the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. Starting with verse 25, Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell to the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. When we lived in Grand Rapids, on a Sunday morning, I was on my way to church. Jim would show up very early in the morning and meet some people to pray over the sanctuary. And so the kids and I would come for worship practice. So the Sunday mornings were busy getting the 3 kids around. Moms, don't everything go wonderful on Sunday mornings when you're trying to get here? Yes. Okay. So we're in the van, and I've got the 3 kids buckled in. I think they were about 9, 5, and maybe 1. And we're on our way. We had a short 3-mile drive to the church. And off the side of my eye, I see this woman. At first, I thought maybe she was sitting on the sidewalk. Then it got apparent that she had fallen, and nobody was around. Now, I'm going to be transparent with you. This is what I thought first. Whew. God, I have responsibility to lead worship practice. And God, you know, now this was seconds, okay? You know that I need to be there first because you don't want me to be late to church. And God, you know how I like to turn the sound booth on and turn the projector on so that when we get in, we can just come in and pray and lead worship. And then it was like this flashing sign to my heart and said, you are the priest. I put the brake on as fast as I could. I was so ashamed. And I said to the kids, I put my flashers on, and I said, Ashley, stay in the car with the boys. I'm going to go right here on the sidewalk. And I went. Nobody was coming. I had reasoned with myself that somebody would soon see her and call emergency help because that's what they do. But she wanted to get up. So I'm trying to get her up. I get in my best position. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help me lift her up. I'm like, where are you from? She was confused. I discovered that there was kind of she lived with a group of older adults at this home. And I took her to the door and we got her all fixed. And guess what? I was 15 minutes late to worship practice when I was done. And God said to me, this was your worship today. I believe God didn't even care that Sunday if we had worship. I love worship, Michael. I'm a supporter of it. Do you see where I'm going with this? I thought my responsibility was to lead that rehearsal, and it is. But God had put her in my path, and I was to make a difference. And what do you think spoke to my kids more, that rehearsal or their mom pulling over to the side of the road, telling them to stay in and pray for this lady? I believe that showing kindness is looking and searching for ways to do good to others. In science, we talk about we don't just observe with our eyes, we observe with all of our senses. It's a totally different thing when you put your whole self in and not just your eyes. Now, we need to stop tasting things at a certain point when we get there. But do you see how it's so different when you look at it from all angles, when it's active and not passive? Church, I believe that Jesus didn't walk around just waiting for things to fall in his lap. I believe that. I believe that Jesus was about his Father's business. I believe his day and itinerary was planned out, who he would meet, who he would save, who he would change their lives forever. But I believe God placed people along the way of those plans. And Jesus always knew when to stop and when to meet a need. You know, we live in a very selfish society. We want what's best for ourselves and our family. Do you guys enjoy the worst parking place in the whole parking lot? No one enjoys that, right? When we go out, I like a booth, not a table, and I don't like to be in the middle with everybody looking at me. I like to be on the side, not noticed. We just naturally think of what might work best for us. I heard Joyce Meyer tell years ago, and I love that she's so transparent. She said early in her ministry on Monday, she would meet at a McDonald's for a staff meeting. And she said, I had a favorite table in the corner, you know, with a window, and we could discuss church business. And she said, I saw the table was empty. And she said, I saw an elderly woman with her walker coming this way. And she said, I started to race the woman. She's a Christian and a pastor. And God said to her heart, what are you doing? What are you doing? How many of you can say, I've thought like that? I've been there. And then I have to step back and think, what would God want me to do? Sometimes our good intentions start out wonderful, kindness is beautiful, and then life just gets so stressful and we lose it all. A woman in California had followed a slow-moving truck for several miles to the place that she was just angry at the end. The truck pulled over. She pulled over behind. She took an aerosol can freshener, threw the can at his truck, took her child's baseball bat out of the trunk, hit the truck three or four times. The reporter said to her, ma'am, I noticed your license plate says Peace 95. And she said, yes, there's too much violence in the world. We need to fix the problem, not be the problem. And we've all been there. As followers of Jesus, I'm asking us, and myself included, see people through the eyes of heaven. God sees the value in people. We sometimes focus on what's soiled and dirty on the outside. And God says, look at what's on the inside, the beauty of it. And it's always so delightful when people see past my faults on the outside and look at my heart and they get me. The person that God created us to be, we treat people as valuable, precious human beings. You dig into someone's life, okay? Think of this. We're gonna crawl into their space. And this is what I'm gonna tell you today. Kindness is sometimes downright messy. When we crawl into someone's space. When we lived in Michigan, my sisters would come and bring the nieces and nephews, and we would be so excited and plan it out. And so one time we were going to Lake Michigan. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. We were going to stop and feed them at McDonald's, let them play in the play area, then head on to the beach. So Chelsea is very little, and she climbs. Well, they ate their food, and she climbs to the very top of the play thing. You know, the tubes that are around. And guess what she does when she gets to the top? She looks down, and she cries. She doesn't cry a little bit. She is just up there, wah! And I thought, and the kids were saying, she's not coming down. She says she's not coming down. So I said, I'm the shortest. I'll go. So I climb into that tube, and I'm telling you, it was smelly. I thought, oh. And then I looked around and it was germy. I don't like germs very well. I like a clean space. And I'm thinking, oh, this is awful. And I hear Chelsea crying in the background. And I'm like, honey, I'm coming. Aunt Tanya's coming. I get all the way to the top. I wipe her tears and I say it's okay. And I carry her all down. And then I just wanted a shower. It was so gross. Here's the thing. When we crawl into people's space the way God intended, it will be messy sometimes. And it will be smelly sometimes. And you will get germs on you. But we are doing like Jesus. Jesus was always ready to get messy and crawl in someone's life. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Put yourself in their shoes. Now, I realize there are feelers and non-feelers in the world. I bet you can guess what I am. So like when I watch a movie, I'm a feeler. I'm just not like watching the movie. I'm imagining that I am that person. Anybody go that far with a movie? So sometimes I cry and sometimes I laugh. And some people just watch a movie like, oh, it's a movie. It's a story. No, but imagine if you were them. When I was in junior high, anybody in junior high here today? I was riding home from practice with my dad in the truck. So when my dad picked me up, it was usually in the truck, and it was just the two of us. And I'm sure I was doing most of the talking, and he was doing most of the listening. And we passed this house that I passed every single day, usually two or three times a day. They had taken the old siding off, and they had put in the insulation around the house, and that was it. It just stayed that way. So I said to my dad, you know, that is just so ugly. I said, it's just insulation. Why don't they finish that house? My dad could have said, talk nice. You know better than that. My dad paused, which is what he often does, I think, to allow us to reflect. He said, do you know how I fix things at our house when they break? I said, yes. He said, do you know how I hang siding and do the things that need done so they look pretty? I said, yes. He said, they don't have a dad at that house. He said, there's four kids, and their dad left a long, long, long time ago. Now, that is a simple statement. Folks, it changed my life. When I drove by the house with the insulation, I began to feel empathy for them, and I began, as a junior high kid, to pray for that family. And then I would say thank you for my dad that fixes things. Church, we have got to go beyond ourselves. We have got to go beyond. In 2005, when Andrea had Jet and Seth, I was telling Jim about it, Pastor Fry's daughter. Seth went to heaven, and little Jetty, our miracle baby, stayed with us, and I was telling Jim about it, and I didn't know Chan was listening. He was seven at the time, and I knew he disappeared, and I just figured he went off playing, and he came down, and he said, I heard what you and Dad were talking about, and he said, Mom, I have this $5. He said, I would like you to send it to them. I know it won't do much. And I took the $5, and my mommy heart wanted to go, keep your $5, I'll put a 20 in. And Jim looked at me, he said, don't you take that blessing away. Don't you undo when God stirs a heart. Do you see where we're going with that? A little boy who thought someone needed his $5 more than he did. Oh, church, that's the kind of stirring we need as adults. We've gotten so used to all the commotion in our world around us that maybe we've stopped crawling into people's spaces. Maybe we say, I don't know, I got hurt. Hurt is real. We have to protect ourselves. But where would we be if someone didn't crawl in our spaces? When we were crying at the top of the PlayStation. Mark 12 says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. When our relationship with God is what it needs to be, then it goes this way to everyone around us. Would you show that picture of the circuit? Mother Teresa said, the battery, the source, is always God. We are the wire, and the electrons that flow through them is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and the electron will always bring us to the light, and it will bring others to the light as well. We love because he first loved us. Decide, especially the youth today that are getting ready to leave to go to Texas. Isn't that exciting? It's going to be over 100 degrees. I won't go. I don't want to steal your blessing of the over 100 degrees. Yeah, I'm not at a good age to be that hot. So, youth, make a change to say, I can't change the world, but I can change my little corner of the world. And I can make a difference in someone's life after we get filled up. Another thing that Mother Teresa does is they go and they find babies that are not going to make it. The medical diagnosis says these babies are not going to live. So she goes to other ones. No. She says, me and my staff hold that baby, and we rock that baby, and we don't put that baby down until that baby goes to Jesus. Because she's making a difference in their life. Maybe what the world has pushed aside. And here's what happens as you're rocking that baby and trying to help that baby. It changes you. It changes you from the inside out. I'm going to close with this. I went to the bank and had a check that I was cashing, and it was a $100 bill. I'm telling you this because I never had a $100 bill in my purse back then, and very seldom today. I thought, well, we're leaving on vacation, so instead of coming back to get the money, I'll just put that in my purse. So the next day, I went to Fort Wayne, Indiana to a doctor appointment. Right when I was finishing, my principal called me. I was new to the school, and she said, can I ask you to come with me and put your pastor hat on and not your teacher hat on to the Toledo Hospital? And I said, yes, what has happened? She said, two of our students were hit by a semi today. I said, you give me 40 minutes, meet me in Defiance. I will go with you. We went into that hospital, and it was not a good analysis. The one girl was sent to another hospital where she would recover, but they didn't think that the teenage girl would make it to the morning. I tell you today that God healed her in a miraculous way. But when we were standing there, God said in my heart, that's why you have the $100 bill in your purse. They left in an instant. They had no money on them. And I was like, oh. So I took it in my hand, and when we got done praying, I just slid it to her when no one would notice or look. God put a $100 bill in my purse for a teenager that was going to be hit the next day by a semi. Does that make us in awe of our Father? My goodness, I felt so honored that I just happened to be listening that day. Church, God wants to do things in us through his Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And I can tell you, most of the time, it's beautiful, but sometimes it's going to be messy. And do it anyway. Do it anyway. Youth, come up here with youth leaders and youth that are taking this IYC trip. We just want to pray over you. You're not in trouble. Yeah. How about we put you guys down here so everybody can gather around you? I'm going to tell you, teenagers, she's like, I'm the teenager, not the, you're going to get filled up with Jesus. I'm telling you, when you are at a conference with people who love Jesus, the atmosphere is just exciting and wonderful. God's going to anoint those speakers. But let me tell you why you're going. To come back and change your corner of the world. And it will be worth every minute of your time and every dollar spent. Because God has something for you. Church, let's gather around them and let's pray over them. I encourage all of us, any of us, to come forward. Oh, this is beautiful, Heritage. This is beautiful. Touch somebody if you're not coming up here. Just find somebody and touch them. Let us pray. God, it is so good to be in your house today. Thank you that you got up early and filled this place before we were stirring in our sleep. God, thank you that you are intentional. God, you knew long ago which youth were going on this trip and which adult leaders would be there. Oh God, I pray that your spirit would warm every heart. Oh, I pray that you would just be the electron, that Holy Spirit working on the inside, because it's so good to serve you with other people that serve you. But God, spur them to change. May they hear the word of God in their hearts. May they feel your warm embrace. God, I ask for safe travels. I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would get them there safely and bring them back to us safely. I pray for Josh and all the adult leaders. So many times we think we're doing it for someone else, and God says, "Ooh, this was for you. This was for you." Oh, God, show them love. Bless them for their time. Bless them for getting messy and germy. God bless it. Oh, change us from the inside out. Bring them home on fire with you, where all the adults are like, whew, want a little bit of what that youth group has. Show us your goodness. Show us your love. Show us your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30. At 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.